Thank you, Lord, that we can come to you once again. We're so grateful always to be able to open your word. And I pray that my heart and the hearts and ears of all of us will be prepared to hear and to accept and to acknowledge your word for what it is and you for who you are. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Today's passage is going to be in Mark chapter 2, verses 23 to 28. That's on page 1530 in the Pew Bibles. And I've titled this Sabbath Made for Man. And before we even get to today's passage, I want to talk about Sabbath because it's probably not a topic that most of us spend a lot of time thinking about. I think Protestant Christians oftentimes believe in the Nine Commandments. Sabbath is kind of just one of those that gets semi-ignored, and it's hard to understand exactly, you know, what do we do with this? Because it seems like legalism and lots of rules if you start trying to follow it the way that oftentimes we've been trained that it is. I remember growing up there were blue laws in Washington State, and most states had them. Some of them still have some blue laws where you can't do certain things on Sunday, especially like liquor sales was one of them, that there were certain kind of rules. You couldn't sell from this time to that time. Well, we still have some liquor laws where you can't sell it during certain hours for on-premises, but off-premises is different. And now you've got the big Costco's, and you know, if anybody's able to get into a store, some of those stores are open constantly, and I don't know how they keep track of what minute you stop selling and what minute you start. And you know, you kind of got to keep, those are the type of rules. And I remember growing up, you know, if you tried to travel on a Sunday, you were going to have a tough time finding a place to eat, a place to get gas. You really needed to plan ahead and prepare if you thought that you needed to get someplace on a Sunday. If you waited until Sunday morning to fill your tank, it was probably too late. There were problems with that. It seems like every different denomination and different religion has ways of looking at Sabbath. Because it's mostly a Jewish thing, I kind of went to the Orthodox Union Shabbat, and they've got 39 categories of Sabbath work that are prohibited by law. And so this synopsis, this summary is only 16 pages long. Kind of gives you an idea of, you know, when you start getting into what people did with God's law. Now, I'm going to hopefully today point out that this clearly is not the way that Sabbath should be understood. And yet, we sometimes throw the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak. It seems like, okay, we don't like the way people are doing a certain religious custom, and so we decide let's just get rid of that whole thing rather than let's try to find a way to do it correctly. And so understanding Sabbath is something that we'll spend this week and some of next week on as well. Jesus had a heart for Sabbath. He never did say Sabbath was bad, but the way that the Pharisees and others were trying to push it was kind of out there. There's, like I said, there's 39 categories of things that you can't do. I'm not going to go through every one of them, but, you know, just carrying, okay? If you carry something, this category involves carrying in a public place. Apparently, it's okay to carry stuff around in a private place, mm-hmm. but not publicly. And this is, when I was raised, you know, that Sunday became the Sabbath for most Protestant belief, and so the Baptist church I was raised in, and my parents felt like we needed to keep Sabbath, and some of the categories here, like shearing, is one of them. Okay, well, you can't shear. Well, for some people that meant that they're so serious, you can't comb your hair because some hair might fall out while you're in the process of combing or brushing. Definitely shouldn't be mowing lawns, because that would be a type of shearing. And so they take this category and then they try to spread it out to all the different possibilities of places where it could be. Well, you're not going to shear sheep, but you're also not going to cut cloth in a particular form so that you can make a pattern, you know. Again, most people don't make their own clothing anymore, but it was kind of one of those things when I was growing up. You know, I had a few sisters and my mom and a couple brothers that all did sewing, and they made things, but not on Sunday. winnowing, sifting, grinding, all these different things. So carrying was one of the things. It was probably one of the bigger ones. And there's some understanding in Scripture. There was people that were gathering wood and things on a Sunday or Saturday for them, the Sabbath, and gathering manna, different things like that, that they were prohibited to do. So there's some specific understanding in Scripture. It's like, okay, this is what somebody was doing. But again, when I look at it, God's always looking at the heart. You know, when somebody was gathering manna, it was against what God had told them to do. It says, like, you know, get twice as much on Saturday, on Friday, and don't gather any on Sabbath, on Sunday, or Saturday. I'm so trained to think that Sabbath is Sunday from the way I was raised, and yet, again, that becomes a point of contention in a lot of different circles. We have friends in the local area here that choose to worship Messianic Christians that worship on Saturday, and they do all of their religious activities on Saturday, not on Sunday. There's, you know, Seventh-day Baptists, Seventh-day Adventists, all these things as well. So there's a lot of people that really think we do need to get back to the actual day. And I don't know. I mean, when you look at calendars and how messed up calendars are, I don't know if we're even on the actual day of any of the days. So, you know, that would be a tough one. But, you know, there's just, like I said, this is a synopsis. And then they have other regulations that go a lot deeper than all of this stuff. Burning. So having fire. And that involves making a fire or causing anything to burn. Well, so, for example, if you threw a toothpick into a fire, it's a violation of Sabbath. If you're just adding wood to a fire that already existed, you didn't start the fire that day, but you're adding fire to it. Now, okay, well, then I could probably have a pellet stove, right? Because I don't have to add anything to it. I could put enough pellets in the night before, and it'll last a whole day. But it's like, okay, well, there's a prohibition against anything mechanical. So now that screw that's pushing the pellets up to the flame is a violation of Sabbath law. If you're trying to look at all the different strict laws here. In fact, if you turn a light bulb on, now these lights, I don't know, maybe they don't have a little wire in there that becomes glowing hot, but that was considered, turning a light on would be considered starting the fire or burning. And then some people take that to all electricity because you somehow have taken and moved, and there's heat involved in electricity, whether it's a lot of heat or a little bit of heat, it's there. If you've ever stuck your hand underneath a computer after it's run for a while, you know, there's so striking a match, turning on a stove. An automobile engine works by burning gasoline, so you couldn't drive in an automobile. Turning on the ignition and stepping on the accelerator causes it to burn. It's therefore forbidden to drive a car on Sabbath. Heating a piece of metal so that it glows, like the light bulbs and things like that. In general, any use of electricity violates Sabbath. So it's like, that's okay, so well, we shouldn't have anything burning. Well, there's a rule against extinguishing. It includes extinguishing or lowering a flame in any way. So, you know, maybe you think, okay, well, I can just turn my burner on the night before so that way we can keep everything warm for our food so we can have hot food on the Sabbath. But you can't turn it down. And you're not supposed to carry or lift or, you know. And it's kind of weird. It is okay to eat hot food on Sabbath, but you're not allowed to heat it. I never did figure that one out. That's kind of a strange thing. Finishing, so any kind of forms of repairs or adjustments, you know.
Yeah, this is a bad Sunday to be talked about.
I mean, you know, because you see something that needs fixed, what's our general tendency? It's like, okay, well, let's just take care of that. I might have time on Sunday or Sabbath or whatever, so, you know, I'm not busy at my other job, so I can do that now. I mean, against the Sabbath rules. Any form of adjustment, you know, even like, you know, blowing up a balloon or water wings so that you can go swimming, that kind of thing. Writing is prohibited on the Sabbath. You'd think, okay, well, maybe I can just spend time with God journaling. No, you can't write. Typing, printing, using a rubber stamp, anything like that, where you're making a mark that means something. But erasing is also forbidden. So, cooking, prohibition against cooking goes a lot of different directions. Washing, this includes washing or bleaching a garment in any manner. No spot removal on Sabbath. Sewing, not supposed to sew anything together. Tearing, okay. It's time to sow and it's time to tear. Well, the Sabbath isn't the time for either one of those. Now stop thinking that it is. Okay, well, that creates some problems. How many of us, when we use the restroom, we pull some paper off of a toilet paper roll, and then you don't want the whole roll.
Oh, tearing.
So that's considered tearing. It's, if you go on Amazon, you can find some kosher toilet paper, Sabbat toilet paper. It's in boxes, and it's like Kleenex tissues where you don't have to tear. They're separated into a couple pieces each. And so you can use that on your Sabbath wiping. I mean, people are serious about this, and they take it to an extent, and it just goes on and on and on. Knotting, can't tie anything in a knot. You can't untie anything. Now, they have exceptions to that, like tying your shoe, as long as it could be untied easily, you know, where you're just, it's not a real knot. And if you accidentally tied your shoes in a knot, you can untie them to get them off. I mean, shaping things, just cutting things in any desired shape, plowing, planting, reaping, harvesting, all of these things. Threshing, this includes all operations where food is separated from its natural container. Winnowing, this includes all activities where food is separated from its indelible portions by means of wind. So, you know, you'd take some grain and you'd rub it and then let the chaff blow away. That's against the rules on Sabbath. Selecting. This includes separating unwanted portions of food by hand. Now here's the deal. Okay, so you go to the food bank on Friday, you get your strawberries.
Yeah.
And you open them up, you're going to have to eat them on Sabbath. And you notice that some of them aren't quite what you'd want to eat. You can't separate them. Not on Sabbath. You can eat the good ones and leave the bad ones, but you can't separate them. It's in the rules. Sifting, grinding, I mean, like I say, it goes on and on. Kneading, that would also include if you're making instant puddings, that's a form of kneading in that, apparently. Combing, spinning, dyeing, not like you're dead, but dyeing some color into something.
I'm not allowed to dye them.
Chain stitching, that's one that it's really bothered me a lot. I was hoping to be able to do more chain stitching on Sabbath. But that includes basket weaving, net making, all that kind of stuff. Kathy's made some beautiful baskets over the years. Warping and weaving, unraveling, building, demolishing. Trapping. So leave the bears alone on the Sabbath. Shearing, slaughtering, skinning, tanning, smoothing, marking. You can't do any kind of marking. So you can kind of see this would be a difficult thing if you're trying to live your life to follow Sabbath law. It seems like a real burden, and it is. And in fact, Jesus talks about it as being a burden. And he never intended for Sabbath to be a burden. Like the title of the sermon today, Sabbath was made for man. So let's jump into some of the passages. I'm not up to the Mark passage yet, but in Exodus 23, it says, 6 days do your work, but on the seventh day do not work, so that your ox and your donkey may rest, and so that the slave born in the household and the foreigner living among you may be refreshed. You can kind of see it's supposed to be a time of release, a time for a break. If you make 1,000 rules about what you can't do, then all of a sudden your mind's just stuck on all these things you can't do, and then you're wishing you could do it. And doesn't work that way, but it was intended for rest. Deuteronomy is a second law. When Moses is given the law, he says, observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. As the Lord your God has commanded you, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. And that's why we had the blue laws. It's so that bad bosses couldn't make their employees work 7 days a week. And so all this commerce that is going on now 7 days a week wouldn't have happened during the time of the blue laws. You would have, majority of society would have a Sunday and then Saturday also, because there were groups that were celebrating religious holiday on Saturday, others on Sunday, and so that's where in America we come up with the traditional two-day weekend. It really is a religious break. It's not just so that you can get out of work, but that's a big part of it, because you know, even God says it's like, okay, you work and then you get some time off. You work and you get some time off, and you need to be able to give all people time off. It's not because you're wealthy you can make everybody else work for you on the one day. Mark chapter 2. So here we are. You know, Jesus has already had the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, they kind of were questioning him about healing a paralyzed man. It's like, oh, wait a minute. Why did you say your sins are forgiven when he was healing the paralytic? And Jesus is like, well, what's harder or easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, or get up, take up your bed and walk? And he did both. And then he was questioned about eating with sinners. Why would you be hanging out with tax collectors and sinners? I'm beginning to think anyone that works for the government must be a terrible sinner. And you know, anyway, it's like you're he's questioned by the Pharisees about everything he did. They were really watching him closely. And then it's like, okay, well, why are we fasting on these fasting times and you're not fasting? That's what took place just before this. And now in this passage, one Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields. And as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? You can see where they're coming from here, the reaping and winnowing and doing all this stuff. I mean, they shouldn't be doing this work on the Sabbath. It wasn't that that was bad, that what they were doing, but it was like, because it was Sabbath. And I kind of wonder, okay, did these Pharisees have nothing else to do but to follow Jesus and his disciples around and try to find something else that he's going to do wrong? They were constantly trying to catch him. And here they think they've got him again. It's like, there's Sabbath rules and your people are violating these Sabbath rules. And I think Jesus could have probably explained to them a lot of different things about how it's okay to take care of your own needs on the Sabbath. I mean, it wouldn't have been public if you hadn't have been following them around, staring through the grain fields and trying to catch them. So they're taking a walk, they're eating a few pieces of grain. Why are they doing what's unlawful on the Sabbath? And this, when we start getting too religious and lose the concept of relationship, it's real easy to start looking at everybody and even ourselves and with this judgmental attitude about, why are you doing this and this and this? There's these rules and you're breaking the rules. And he answered, have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for the priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. David was fleeing for his life. He and his band of merry men were hungry, and they needed some food. And they went into the showbread table and took the bread and ate it. And they weren't judged for that. It's like, okay, It's unlawful. It's like if you're so bent on, if you're so concerned about rules, 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 and you don't understand heart and need, then your priorities are in the wrong place. Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. It's interesting when we look at the passages in Exodus, in Deuteronomy, where it talks about Sabbath. Got a parade of geese walking down the street right now. It's just kind of fun. I get a better view. They're doing that on the Sabbath, you know. So geese, why are you wandering around? Okay, so you realize that God's whole purpose of creating the Sabbath was so that people could have rest, so that they could have a time to just set aside and be holy, set apart for God. And it wasn't about keeping rules, it was about this was for their benefit. Do we see the law as for our benefit, or do we see the law as something that is being hung over us? And I think a lot of that depends on our upbringing. Our rules meant to catch people, or are they meant to help give people freedom? I know that if you're playing baseball or soccer or football or any other game, and you don't have any kind of set parameters of what the rules are, you don't have an understanding of how the ebb and flow of the game is supposed to work, it can be chaotic. I remember a particular soccer game where 5 or 6 of our team went to the hospital during the game. Things got way, way out of hand. I didn't play a lot that day. The coach was looking at me and knowing that my attitude would not have been good to be on the field at that time. And he sent me to the hospital with one of our guys. He says, you go in the ambulance with him. And so we went to the hospital. Time I come back, I mean, it had been totally out of control, but it was because the official, the referee that day, had just kind of let things go until they were out of hand. And understanding that rules are actually to give freedom, they're actually a benefit to us. And if people understand and follow the rules the right way, whether we're talking about morality, games, politics, whatever it is, if we can't follow a decent set of rules, things get out of control, they get out of hand. So when God gave the Ten Commandments, it wasn't because, wow, I need to find more ways to hem them in. It's like, no, I need to give them freedom. If they can understand that you love the Lord your God forever and always, and you do all these things, everybody's going to be better off for it. I don't want anybody coming and stealing from me or killing me. So making a rule that nobody should steal or kill, that doesn't sound like an onerous rule. It sounds like that's a good idea. We should all live by that rule. And then there's this Sabbath rule. It's like everyone needs to be able to relax and rest. We shouldn't overwork people continuously. But it's not a rule that's set so that it's like, oh, you violated that, now you're in trouble. I did have a principal I worked with once that would kind of sit up in the woods and watch to see how the classes would line up and follow the teacher and do things right or wrong. And then he would call us in as teachers and explain to us, you know, you didn't have your class under control then. And it's like, gotcha. And it's like, okay. But they were all happy and we got to where we needed to get and we didn't disrupt anybody. But you know, and it's just a matter, I mean, I think I understand why you need the rule. You don't want chaos when I'm walking a class past another classroom. It'd be really rude for my kids to be boisterous and noisy and out of control. But if they're just softly talking as they walk along, I wasn't concerned about it. And so there's, how do we look at rules? How do we look at Sabbath as a law? It's like God made this for man. And then the Son of Man, Jesus himself, he's describing himself there, is Lord even of the Sabbath. When you go back to Genesis, there was creation. God created the heavens and the earth. He said, let there be light. He said, let there be, you know, all the different things. He created the plants. He created the animals. He created the flying things, and he created man. And then on the seventh day, God had finished the work he'd been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. He still was creating on the seventh day. He's creating a holy day of rest. Because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. He created it. He's in charge of it. He gets to decide how it's used. So when the Pharisees catch his disciples picking grains and violating their Sabbath rules, it's like, wait a minute. I created the Sabbath. I know why it's there. It's not there to do you harm. It's not there to cause you to feel guilty about anything. It's not there to just add a burden to you. In fact, all these burdens that you keep adding, not useful. Sabbath is for you to be able to rest and relax. He made it holy. What does holy mean? It's set apart for God. And that's where I think when you look at Protestant switching from Saturday to Sunday make perfect sense in so many ways, because it's a holy day set apart for God. Why would we choose Sunday? Well, because that's the day that Christ rose from the dead. That's the day that we got our freedom. Now, if you get into Romans, you're going to find out we're not supposed to judge people if they keep the Sabbath or don't keep the Sabbath. It's not a point of, you know, these people that have all these rules. The Pharisees are free to do whatever they want to help them set apart that day. That's between them and God. Where they violated Sabbath was they started trying to put their burden on somebody else and say, you have to keep the Sabbath the way I keep the Sabbath. It's like people that don't have any difficulty with alcohol, have a beer, have a glass of wine, whatever. But if somebody has a difficulty and they try to tell everybody else, you can't drink because I have a problem. It's like, wait a minute. Okay. I honor you for choosing not to imbibe. I mean, and I've just made a choice. I saw family members that couldn't hold their alcohol, and I assumed that I have the same family traits that they have. And I've chosen my entire life to never have a drink. But it can't be a rule that I try to place on other people. It's my personal choice, and that's between me and God. And if God tells me, you know, this is holy and you have to do it, it's like when you know, Peter is having this dream and the unclean foods are coming down and the Lord's saying, take and eat. But I've never violated that or that eating rule that we have. It's like, okay, but Jesus says all things are clean. Why was he doing that dream for Peter? Well, he's saying, you know what? You think only that Jews can be saved. You think only Jews can be called by God and led by God. And I'm telling you, there's a Gentile knocking at your door. Go and talk to him. And he's God of everyone. And he's welcoming to everyone. So when he comes up with, you know, you've got these commandments. Sabbath is a commandment. Yes, that's true. But it's also a commandment to bring us freedom. It was created for man. Man was created first and then the Sabbath. Next week we'll talk a little bit more about Sabbath as we continue in chapter 3. Jesus has the nerve to actually heal somebody on the Sabbath, and that violates another one of the Pharisees and lawkeepers' rules. I'm glad that Jesus isn't a rule guy, that he is a lover of his people. And these regulations, these 39 categories, plus you could find all kinds of other different categories. Like I said, you can go to different denominations, the Methodists, the Lutherans, all of them have different ways of approaching what they call Holy Day or Sunday or Sabbath. You know, the Quakers even, you know, First Day, they would have ways to celebrate that. But what we have to understand is none of it should be a burden to us. God is not trying to burden us with a day that we have to worry about, you know, what if I violated a rule? It's like the beauty of it is, You know, and frankly, the blue laws were all supported by most of the labor unions. It's like you get to have a day off. You don't have to work 7 days straight every week. You get to have a break. It's good for you. And there's also in scripture the concept of giving your land a break after so much time so that it can heal itself. And you know, God's created this system that things work longer and better if we don't break them down too quickly. I know most of us are probably feeling like, you know, after a few days work, a few hours work, a few minutes work, we could use a break. And God's okay with that. His heart is for people. Thank you, Lord, that you are who you are and that you've created for us that the concept of Sabbath rest. Help us to understand what it means to set aside time for you, to make this time that you've created to be holy, to make it actually holy, and help us not to get caught up in rules, but certainly we want to get caught up in your love, caught up in relationship with you, Lord Jesus. Amen.